Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk some Disney, some maybe a little news. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, once again to Traveling with the Mouse. My name is John. I am your host for episode number 239, and it is Wednesday, October the 23rd. And today I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And by Jason.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So just so we don't waste any moment, since we're all seems to be tired tonight, right?
You're going to Disney World tomorrow, so you do need to get to bed.
Well, you're already there, right? Yeah. As we speak.
At this moment.
By the time this comes out, you'll have already been. So. Right.
Yeah. How's the Halloween party? How was that the other night?
Oh, that was great. There was someone there who was so excited they lost their head.
Oh, wow. And he rode around on a horse?
Yeah.
Is all that on our social media outlets already?
It should be very soon.
Or it already has been?
Yeah. One of the two. Yeah. So... Yeah.
Yeah. We're not pre-recording this before.
Never. We never do
we
that.
We always pre-record it. I don't know why we continue to.
While we fake it.
Speaking of, it's
a running joke, I guess.
Did you guys catch the Rise of Skywalker trailer on Monday Night Football a couple nights ago?
When we record it, it hasn't come out, then yes, I have seen it, and it was incredible.
It was a pretty good game, though, wasn't it?
I just don't like it when the Patriots play and do well or poorly, whichever one it was.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Actually, if they did poorly, I'll be happy.
Typical Patriots, all that stuff happened.
Me being the fan of the winless Miami Dolphins, I always hate the Patriots. So
yes. Miami Dolphins?
Yes.
You're going to be lucky if they win a game this season.
I know. I thought they were going to Sunday. Well,
at least the Falcons got their win out early in the season, so now they can just finish.
They're not
going to
be last
every other game. They got the win out of the way early on. Yeah.
My team's 4-2, so.
Which one's your team?
Carolina Panthers.
Oh, okay, I like the Panthers, especially because Cam. All right. I just kind of wanted to follow up on something right quick at the beginning from last week. We were talking about Disney Plus. Uh-huh. And I was mentioning how Swiss Family Robinson, the 1940 version, it was not Disney. And after doing some research on it, I found out that it technically was another company whose name escapes me right now. But the company did go belly up. And in later distributions, Disney did have it and was involved. So Disney does actually own it. Even though it was not their production, much like some of the stuff that they're putting out there on it with Fox, they did distribute it at one point in time. So I guess they do have something to do with it after all. So
they're releasing both versions on Disney
Plus?
Why?
Because they own one.
Right, but Disney fans are only going to know the one, right? I don't know anything about the 1940 version.
Well, you need to watch it now. It's required.
Well, what's interesting is I've seen some things that say they're doing both. And then now I look at this latest list and I don't even see the 1961. So I'm confused. I guess we'll see whenever it gets real, when Disney Plus comes out.
We'll have to report
as
on
to what's what.
Yeah, that's strange because the Disney one that I knew growing up that's what the attraction is based off of, unless the 1940 version is an exact shot for shot remake or something.
I highly doubt that.
So I don't understand. But anyway.
Yeah. So I just thought I would mention that because I was like, they don't have anything to do with it. Well, they kind of do in a roundabout way. So I guess that was untrue that they had nothing to do with it.
Or maybe it's just confusion on the part of people who are putting this list out. Maybe they were not sure which one.
Yeah, like I said, I've seen two lists. One has both listed. One has just one of them listed. So I feel like it's going to have both. I would kind of hope that they have the one that they did that was actually better.
Right. And in color.
Well, you know, I said better because I've never seen the 1941, truthfully. I'm going to assume that it's better. I know I enjoyed the 1961. I would prefer that one to be on there since I already know what it is. I know it's good enough. And also, to go along with that, finding out why certain titles were left out of the initial launch, it has to do with they're still under contract with Netflix at the point in time and will be added at a later date, I'm sure, especially when it's ones that, you know, like Tarzan, for instance, being in the, you know, one of the animated classics, I guess. I mean, it's not one of the mm-hmm. most beloved ones or anything, but it's in there. And it wouldn't have made sense for them to have this sequel and not the original, because the sequel is, I think it was like a straight-to-video sequel that was out.
Right.
Most of them coming out with it, just rolling out with it or something like that.
Okay.
All right, so I just, like I said, kind of a follow-up from the last time on that one.
Right.
So
what's Netflix, by the way? I don't know what that is. I just watch Disney Plus now.
Is that all you do?
Are we not pre-record? Is Disney Plus not out when we release this one? I'm getting confused as to what day I'm supposed to pretend it is at this point.
Right. We record the whole year's episodes in 1 week. So right. It's actually bet January 2019.
So. Well, I think we mentioned last time that there was going to be some refurbishments coming up. Test Track is going to be refurbished in January into early February. We'll add to that list, Splash Mountain is also going to be under refurbishment starting in early January, going into late February, in addition to the Walt Disney World Railroad, which will be under refurbishment the entirety of 2020. So,
in the beginning of the year, it'd be a good time for a completion, right? Maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. They have pretty short hours, but still, there's not going to be a whole lot open. I mean, how many are we going to be down? I mean, right now the railroad's been down, so this is adding two more. Isn't it
down three right now?
Yeah.
Or is it?
And then when does Big Thunder and Jungle Cruise go down?
I don't think we had solid dates on those yet, but...
You know, I remember back in the day, it seemed like every time we went, Jungle Cruise was under refurbishment. Either that or the Treehouse one.
Well, you got to get it refurbished now that we have the new movie coming out. It's for sure going
to be. We have to add Dwayne Johnson animatronic to the attraction.
See, what's going to happen is The Rock's going to be the new guide, and they're actually going to eliminate the cast members that are drivers. There's going to be an animatronic.
Dwayne Rock Johnson every year. Yes. By the way, have you guys seen the trailer for?
I have.
What did you think?
I mean,
I was not impressed.
I mean, it could be fun. It could be fun. I'm going to be the positivity here. Pirates was good.
Oh yeah, well, Pirates is like totally different story.
I don't know. I mean, hearing The Rock talk about the backside of water, I just was like, I'm not sure how this is going to go.
I haven't watched it yet. I mean, I saw that it was out, but I haven't taken the time to just watch the trailer. You know, it has The Rock in it, so therefore it's going to make millions of dollars anyway. So, I mean, I should have said millions.
Right. and millions.
Yes, of dollars. Okay. Because everything he's in makes money. So, there you go.
Well, here's the question, though. Did they spend $300 million to make this movie? Like, seems like they probably did.
Well, I mean, they probably spent at least half of that on him, so...
Right. But seeing the trailer, the storyline seemed almost identical to The Mummy, just in a different setting.
Really?
If you remember the 1999 one, the first good Mummy movie, not the stupid Tom Cruise one. That was like last year. The 1999 Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz one. The storyline was very similar. There's even a shot of Emily Blunt doing a thing in the library on a ladder, very similar to a scene from The Mummy. So
I'm going to stay positive. Jungle Cruise, the movie, smash it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Like I said.
I'll hold my breath.
If nothing else, for The Rock alone.
I think it might be entertaining, but I don't know. It just, the trailer did not give me hope that it's going to be very good. So,
okay.
Well, you know. That's just me.
To each their own. When you mentioned Emily Blunt, though, it made me think, I recently watched the Mary Poppins Returns for the second time, like to give it another chance. You know, because the first time I had some criticisms that they tried to recreate some of the stuff from the original, like a little too much. But I kind of tried to approach it with like if I were a kid watching this for the first time or someone watching it, like didn't know the original Mary Poppins. I found it to be a very entertaining movie overall, though, whenever it was all said and done. So, you know, I kind of softened my stance on that one. It's just, I think sometimes when you see an original and you see certain elements that they try too hard to recreate, it kind of makes you want to kind of criticize that aspect of it more. But then, you know, when I got to looking at it, I was like, they kind of kept the spirit of the original by doing those things. And then, you know, kind of gave it its own, like a newer version of that stuff. Like, I was very entertained by watching the lamplighters, like the chimney sweeps, you know, do the similar routines. But
right. So would you say that the cover is not the book? So open it up and take a look.
Yeah, I guess that would be accurate that we're learning there. Yeah.
Why don't you do the one about the wealthy widow?
Yeah. You know what else that grabbed me? You know what else that grabbed me about this movie when it was all said and done is I'm sitting there watching the very end and I'm watching Dick Van Dyke like do the dance that he's doing on the table and everything. And I'm like, at the time he did this, I mean, he's 93 now. So he did that at 91 at least, right? 90 or 91. He was in his 90s doing stuff that, you know, I might pull something doing, you know. And he's 90. He's in his 90s. I'm like, that is amazing.
Impressive.
Yes.
Most impressive.
So, I don't know. It just struck me when I was watching it the last time. I was like, wow, he's in his 90s, and look what he just did. And I could tell it was him doing it. It wasn't the stunt double.
Yeah, so, I remember him saying he did that. Yeah. It was all him.
I was like, wow. Anyway.
Impressive. I wanted to ask, because we were talking about refurbs, I meant to ask this. The Test Track one, I think I read somewhere it was a software update. Is that right?
Oh, did someone give some new updates on this?
I feel like I heard this somewhere. If it is a software update, does that mean Test Track won't be open all of next year either? It's going to be another year before they get that new software rolled out.
I guess say, is the purpose of the software to have it break down less? Because that probably means it'll break down more.
Right. If it's a software patch, then it's probably going to make things worse.
Is it being done? Is it being pushed out by Apple? Because that would.
yes, I keep throwing shade at Apple. Although,
am I inaccurate?
I will say that iOS 13, the My Disney Experience app, at least for me, is crashing a lot. Anyway, I did have a news story though. If we're done with that.
We are done.
It says here that the former iconic entrance bridge to Hollywood Studios is going to be demolished soon, which for those who remember the old MGM Studios and all that entrance. And actually, I think we still use that bridge if you're taking a bus or to get from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. If you're doing the challenge, for example, I believe you drive over that bridge, don't you? Buses go over that bridge. And that's the only way you can see Star Wars hotel construction currently.
Yeah, I think whenever you exit now, you have to go over it, don't you? If you're driving?
Or is if that, you're going is that the in one? A certain direction, yeah. So I guess they're rerouting traffic in a different direction, and they're going to demolish that bridge altogether.
I just know every time I went to studios, it seemed like it was kind of a roundabout way. I had to head in the direction of Disney Springs and go by Pop and Art of Animation to get into the park. And then whenever you exited, you had to kind of go the same way, but then head right and go on that ramp. So let's continue. Since you mentioned Star Wars, why don't I just jump into the more recent, I guess, news story that people were talking about concerning the menu at Docking Bay 7.
Ooh, yes. I am interested in this one because your, your mother that didn't want to eat there?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't seem too impressed with what was there, and I don't know. I couldn't say that it was because of the name of it or not, but I mean, because you could see the description.
She wasn't into fried Andorian tip-yips or kadu ribs.
Yeah, probably not. But I remember looking at the menu and having the names on there, and I thought maybe, I just wonder if that's confusing some folks is the reason why they changed it. I don't know. I think Disney's trying to justify like this change by keeping the original name they had for it in the small print now, you know, instead of, because I think they're just trying to, I don't know, make people look at it and say, so they know exactly what it is. Like they did very plain, like you said, the fried Andorian tip yip is fried chicken. That's what they put. So, and you know, that's basically, I mean, that's, that could, this meal from the looks of it, this could be over at Homecoming. I mean, you know, so it's not like that would have been very exotic or anything. So that would have been something, that part would have been the one that she would have eaten most likely. So,
well, notably, the desserts are still themed with their names, but everything else is.
Yeah, they just highlighted differentness. And there were people from the community arguing that they're, you know, for them preaching so much immersion and everything, that they're totally taking immersion out when it comes to Docking Bay 7 because of the name change.
Well, they had to somehow get more people to eat there now that they took away the fancy sporks that are selling for $75. So,
yeah. I've heard people take menus too from like Oga's or someplace.
Oh, that's just unreasonable.
Well, it looks like they kept the names in the beverages as well. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah. So they have the names for the beverages still too.
Is this something like Moe's? Like, you know, if you go to Moe's and order, they have the weird names for stuff, but you can just say, like, I want a burrito instead of,
I want Joey Bag of Donuts.
Right. or a John Coctason or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm surprised someone hasn't gone in there and said, like, hey, I ordered the donuts.
Right.
Or, I ordered a bag of donuts. Why are you giving me a burrito? Right.
Exactly. So, yeah. Maybe they should yell at you when you walk into Docking Bay 7. Welcome to Docking Bay 7.
Yeah. Have a nice day.
So maybe their group that owns Moe's owns Docking Bay 7. Maybe that's what it is. In another galaxy. Anyway. All right, whose turn is it now?
It's my turn. Adam, you and I were talking about this the other night. It appears that they are starting to prepare everything so that you do not have to go through the security line again when you get off the monorail at Epcot.
Yeah.
So in preparation there people are looking at some of these aerial photos. It looks as if you're going to be able to get right off the monorail because you've already been through security if you're on the monorail, and you won't have to do security again, which we talked about on a previous podcast, and now it's finally going to happen.
Yeah, this is a great thing. I can see they made these special fences that go around the perimeter of the monorail station so that if someone, I guess, tried to jump the fence from the parking lot area, it would cause the fence to bend in a certain direction to where they could tell where a breach was, kind of like the raptor fences in Jurassic Park, if you watch the movie.
So they're going to fail? Know.
Well, okay. If there was a, well, these aren't electrified, I'm sure. I hope not. But anyway, the point is that they'll bend if someone ever tried to jump over it or whatever. So they would know there was an issue. I guess they have cameras probably posted everywhere too looking, but it'll keep the monorail guests coming from TTC in the bubble, so to speak, inside the security bubble. So I think this is great because this was one of the big problems when they instituted the TTC as the security checkpoint, and then all the resort hotels on the monorail as well had their own checkpoint, meaning you were pre-screened already either at TTC or at the resorts surrounding Magic Kingdom, and then now you would have to get screened again once you got to Epcot, and that would take up a lot more time, obviously, so this would eliminate that and should be really great. Unless a door falls off the monorail and somehow someone can rappel up to the monorail, no one would be able to be on that station without being already screened somewhere. So
yeah, this will be great. It's amazing that it took them this long to do it. But
yeah,
if you just wait and don't apparently go in 2020, when you show back up in 2021, everything's going to be great.
2021 is going to be a great year. 2020, I don't know. We'll see.
I think in the future, the better year is going to be 2022.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because 2021, you know, the first 10 months of the year is going to be a lot of scrambling to get everything ready for October 1st. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, to me, 2022 looks the most appealing. That's just my feeling.
And back in the day, we would always go the year, you know, following the October of a big anniversary. It would be like the following spring or summer. And it was a great time to go. It was right in the middle of the celebration.
That's also why, like, next year we kind of were looking at it. It's like, you know what? We want to, we haven't been to Disneyland in a while now. Next year would be a good time. Given what else going to be going on.
Makes sense.
All right. Oh, well, I have a story. Who wants to hear a story?
I want to hear a story.
I have a spoiler.
Okay. What's the spoiler?
No, it's not really a spoiler. I was just mocking Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. I was going to go back to the Skyliner incident. Da, dun, dun.
The tapes. The
911 emergency call recording. Yes. Did you know this was out there, Jason?
I did see them. I didn't listen to them.
Okay.
But yeah, I saw them.
So, while some guests seem merely frustrated about the lack of communication, one caller reported that a man had passed out inside of a gondola, while another mentioned that a woman inside the gondola had lost consciousness. Guests were hospitalized after the accident, and they called it accident here. I don't know. Incident, accident, whichever your preference is at this point. We know what Disney likes to call it. With many requiring medical attention. Of course, Disney's official statement regarding the Skyliner said that following a complete review of the manufacturer, we've made adjustments to our process and training, and we're improving how we communicate with guests during their flight with Disney's Skyliner. So I thought there would be more to that 911 call than this. Apparently there wasn't.
Well, I found one that was a different site that posted one about a guy whose wife said, well, here's the quote. My wife just passed out and came back, ... I'm getting really concerned now. It's been near 2 hours. She's breathing. She's in a lot of pain. Oh, gosh. She's burning up. This is bad. She's not going to last long. So that's just like pieces taken out of a 911 call. So that's probably the person who was taken in ambulance that we saw pictures of, you know, someone being loaded into a gurney and that kind of thing. So that's probably who that was, or one of those a few people taken, I think, to the hospital. But, you know, I can imagine if you're claustrophobic or if you don't know that you're claustrophobic, that would be a bad time to find out.
True.
That could
Other gondola system, this may experience temporary delays or stops.
Right. Yes, any gondola system can do that. Yes,
matter of fact, there's a picture of this. Similar to other gondola systems around the world, flights aboard Disney's Skyliner may occasionally be interrupted with stops and delays.
Exactly.
If you didn't know when looking at it that, hey, it was going to be on a line hanging in the sky, I mean, I don't know.
In a small space, yeah.
Yeah.
But some people may not realize that they're claustrophobic until they're stuck in a very small room, not being able to escape, you know.
I don't know. I'd say it's the equivalent of being in an elevator and something happened, except it didn't happen that often in elevators. I don't know. What's the difference, really?
I've been on an elevator at Disney that falls like 13 floors, and it seems to break down a lot because it doesn't really work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, I never get to my room.
Yeah, I've never been able to stay at that Hollywood Tower Hotel, even though I've gone there several times trying to get a room, and it just never works out. So
yeah, don't know why I keep going back there.
Yeah, exactly. Elevator breaks down every time I've been on it. Yeah. Every single time.
Go figure.
Without fail. So yeah, they have some problems, clearly.
Well, you know, at this point so far, I've been on the Skyliner like several times, and I've been trying to get stuck on it, and so far no luck. So,
and if you do get stuck on it, be sure to live stream as much as possible and live stream the unboxing of the emergency kit and let us know all about it.
I wonder if there's been people now that since they know where it is and all that stuff, if they just like try to pull it out without someone telling them to, can they?
Well, it's like zip tied more or less down, so you can tell if it's been
tampered with. I see. What I'm saying is there's nothing really preventing somebody from just pulling it out at any time. So we can get off the Skyliner now.
We can get off? Do we need to change stations?
Yes. We're at Caribbean Beach. Or Caribbean Beach, whichever your preference is.
So we have options. We can go wherever we want. Yeah. We're at the hub.
That's right.
I have one that I was reading about. And that is that I think we may have reported this on the show, but that the new preferred way to book dining is now officially the website and the app and no longer via phone. And there have been reports that they are no longer accepting some people's phone-in reservations and directing them to the website. Now, this is unconfirmed. This was on Disboards, that they are only doing over the phone for same-day cancellations and parties of 8 or more. If you're a party less than 8, they're just going to direct you to the website.
Well, I can't think of the last time that I actually did a phone reservation for dining.
I can't either, no.
Well, of course, everybody on the internet is freaking out because the people who are on the internet talking about this are like, well, what if you have no internet?
Well, okay, yeah. I mean,
but I want to point out that they needed the internet to complain to
type that
about not having internet.
What if?
To maybe,
I mean, you have a phone, which typically has data, which typically doesn't go down like your home internet does.
What are the odds at both? Yeah.
Yeah. Or go to a Starbucks and get on their Wi-Fi or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, are they talking worst case scenario, like an EMP blast? Because there's probably worse problems coming afterwards.
A pinch.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to rob a Vegas casino and they steal a pinch and knock out the power to the whole city. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11, I'm referring to, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. For those out there who haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like, of course, Diz Twitter and everyone freaks out and says this is the worst thing that they've done ever. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I make and cancel dining reservations all the time without speaking to a single person.
Yep.
Yep.
I very rarely book hotel through the phone, too. I do occasionally, but...
Any particular restaurant that you change on a regular basis?
Oh, I mean, to be fair, when we were there just a week ago, I guess it's over a week now, we started the day on Saturday with a reservation for Mansoor Paul, and then we thought, we're not going to do that. And then we made the reservation again.
Right. Basically, almost the same time that we had dropped a few hours earlier. We ended up just getting it back.
Yep. So, Modify is your friend, right?
John, you should, while you're there this week, you should just go eat at the Wave because you'd be the only one who's actually eaten there out of our podcast.
Out of our group. I could actually get it.
Yeah, so I guess that is the news. John, you're going to be there this week. I think we sort of alluded to that. What nights are you going to be in the park?
Well, I'm going for work, actually, but Monday I'll be traveling down and, I traveled down.
2 days ago.
Yeah. I traveled down and decided the Halloween party would be that night. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I have training during the day, so I figured I would just do stuff in the evening. And, I don't know exactly what just yet. I think I might... take the opportunity since I'm staying at Pop to go on the Skyliner, maybe head over to Food and Wine since it'd be right there, one evening. Let that be my dinner.
It's always good.
And other than that, if I had to pick one park that I'd probably skip just because of time, it'd probably be Animal Kingdom this time. Only because I really kind of like spending time just in Batu, really. And then, like I said, Food and Wine.
Cool. Well, check out our social media for progress on your time in the parks.
Yeah, on the Skyliner.
Which is all at TWTM Podcast.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
Well, I had a construction update.
Okay, Tim Tracker.
Yeah, okay. He does do a lot of construction updates. So the Space 220 restaurant at the you know, right next to Mission Space, is supposed to be open winter 2019. So that means the last 9 or 10 days of December, possibly, according to what they're saying, right? Winter 2019.
Right.
But when you look at the exterior, there's still a lot of work that they're doing exterior. So unless they're doing a lot of, you know, the inside is already done, it doesn't look like, I don't know how they're going to make this date, which is 2 months away. Less than 2 months away, as we're talking, you know. So what do you guys think? Is this going to open, or is this going to be another one of those things where they just sort of quietly push this into 2020?
I think they can make it. Just, I mean,
you know, might make it.
It's not like it's a, you know, an attraction that has to be like tested and stuff like that. I mean, they could make it. But once it's complete, it's complete. It's a restaurant. I mean, I'm sure they know how to operate that equipment, so.
It's supposed to have a gigantic screen that's supposed to be playing the entire time that guests are in there. I imagine they'd want to test that.
Yeah, but that's the type of technology that they like have perfected nowadays, is giant screens. So,
but it just the latest construction photos, there's still a lot of exterior work being done.
What was the projected date again?
It just says winter 2019, so.
Still, they haven't given an official.
Nothing has changed as of yet, but so, I don't know. I'm wondering.
So by Disney standards, if it opened December the 31st, would still count.
Exactly, so. Yes, it would.
I mean, it could open, but be under refurbishment.
Right, okay. Or it could open it 1 day and then go under a refurb. That way it's still technically opened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is close to Test Track, so that could rub off on it. Like it's scheduled to open, and then like a year later it opens.
Sure. Well, my goal, since I will be there during that Christmas to New Year's week, is to dine at this location if it is actually open. So I hope that it makes that date, because I'm going to try to eat there.
To give you that may not know a reference to what I'm talking about, I say it with SA, it's being close to Test Track. And Adam can attest to this too. We were there in 1997.
Yes. Yeah.
Horizons was still open. Once Test Track was completed, they planned on closing Horizons. So when we're over in that area, we see a sign for Test Track that says, in 1997 though, it says coming like June, I think it was, 1997. Yeah. The actual date they ended up opening Test Track was January of 1999.
Right.
So that one is like the most delayed attraction like ever, has to be. I don't think I've ever heard of another one. That was like over a year that it was delayed. Well, it was a year and a half.
Yeah. So, yeah. Gave some extra Horizons time.
Yeah.
So I guess it all worked out. But I remember seeing somebody have a YouTube video about all the details around why it was delayed so bad. And, you know, a lot of software technical issues there that they had to work through.
It wasn't one of the things they had to change tires because they were burning through them like crazy. They had to make them design a special tire for the vehicle.
I think they still have to change them pretty often because you can see when you're coming into the back into the loading area how much rubber is on the track.
Oh, yeah, well, they had a different tire, but when they first started doing it, they were changing them, like, daily or something ridiculous like that. I mean, it was bad.
They were in bad shape.
So,
Yeah, I can imagine.
That expensive at that.
Right.
So, it was pretty expensive when it was open, I think, what they built it with. But
yeah. So, back to the earlier thing, hopefully the software updates actually do, you know, help it stay up more.
Maybe.
And run more efficiently. We'll see. So, anyway, the other quick construction update I saw was shifting out to California, the construction for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway has started out there. So, their Toontown area used to have that mountainous sky backdrop with the Toontown. That's all gone right now. And so, that building that it was attached to has been either torn down. I don't think it's been torn down. I think it's being repurposed for the show building for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So the background is no longer those fake mountains, Toontown Mountains. It's being cleared for the construction of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disneyland. So that's cool. Finally getting some progress on that.
Some progress there, yeah. Well, the one in Florida will be, active for several months before that one's done, right? So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this one's not even going to be until, 2022.
So it may even be a long. Yeah, maybe years. Okay.
Yeah. At least 2 years, I think, before this one will open.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Well, it gives them a time to work out any potential bugs in Florida, right? Isn't that the idea?
Probably.
Maybe. You know, they do that all the time. They do one in one park and then the other vice versa if they decide to take it out there, you know. They've done that for a number of years.
Well, originally it was supposed to open this already be open right now in Florida. Didn't they originally say until they moved Galaxy's Edge up it was going to be fall 2019, and now
they
pushed it to spring because of the Galaxy's Edge.
Cuz they focused
mishap, yeah.
They focused their energy on Galaxy's Edge, thinking that would be the better move. It seemed to impact their bottom line very little, actually.
That's mine. Moving on. What else we got?
Moving along. Okay, I'll just go with this one. This one's, we're talking some movie news now. Maleficent Mistress of Evil debuted at number one at the box office this weekend with a return of $36 million. Overseas made $117 million, which brought the box office worldwide total to $153 million. Interesting that it made that much more overseas. I wonder what that means. However, it was able to dethrone Joker from its number one spot and even beat Zombieland 2. Big shock there. Nice. Double tap. Although Zombieland has kind of a cult following, so it's pretty popular. I mean, it did take them a long time to make a sequel, but no. That's beside the point. However, I mean, it's not really the expectations that we're looking for because it didn't beat the original, which brought in $69 million domestically in 2014. I don't remember if I was there opening weekend, but I actually did see this one, the original one, in theaters. I can't remember why. Somebody was, we had nothing to do that weekend or something. I think it was either there was some family in town or something, and they were like, oh, let's go see that, you know. So we did.
Gotcha.
And that was before we had kids, too. Because Maddie wasn't born until the next year. Maleficent Mistress of Evil, even though being number one, had the lowest opening this year for a Disney film. Previously, Dumbo had that record with $46 million. They've definitely been ruling the box office. Just to give you an updated list, they have numbers one, two. Is Spider-Man Sony, right? The Far From Home. It's not Disney yet. So they have, even though didn't they have to collaborate with them or something? I can't remember. Anyway, so they have the spots number 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and that's it. So they have the majority, they have they have 5 of the top 6.
Yeah.
This year.
It's a lot of money.
Belongs to Disney. Yeah. The top one being Avengers, followed by Lion King, which did this in a very short amount of time, really.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel was the one in 4, Toy Story 4. Was the one at number 5, and then Aladdin behind that one.
Right. A lot of moolah.
Yeah, every last one of them totaled over $1 million, by the way. Avengers Endgame, almost $3 million.
You mean billion?
I think you're off. I mean, by excuse me. There.
With a B.
I meant to put it with a B. I'm doing a Dr. Evil.
Right.
It's like $3 million.
$1 million isn't exactly a lot of money these days.
You know, it's funny. I actually talked about this the other day. We're talking about how $1 million, just how on the game shows, back in the 60s or whatever, the prize was $1 million. Then you fast forward to game shows today and it's still $1 million. Okay. It's inflation didn't affect the top prize.
I think it's interesting to watch the old game shows and people win $5,000 and lose their minds. And I mean, $5,000 is a lot of money still. But
I know, right?
But the degree to which they lose their mind over $5,000,
right? Yes. Don't get me wrong. I'd take $5,000, but I would not do what these people are doing.
Yeah.
I would take the $5,000, but it's the equivalent of if you win $5,000 on Wheel of Fortune these days, I feel like that's a bad showing, right?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, I've actually heard some people in, you know, higher positions, we'll say that $1 million is, you know, like you couldn't live off $1 million. I'm like, huh, you just watch me.
Well, I could try. I would certainly try.
Challenge
I guarantee
accepted.
You I can make that last. Yeah, I was like, I guarantee you I can make that last.
Although Adam and I are still just trying to figure out how we can find, what is it, a little over like $3.5 million, so we can just buy into Golden Oaks. I think that's, that's the cheapest property for sale in Golden Oaks right now. So if there's anybody listening to the show that has a lot of money that they're trying to just unload quickly, we're interested in just taking it for you.
Yeah, and we'll invest it very well in Golden Oak, and we'll give you updates on how awesome it is, and we'll give you some of our one-day passes as being Club 33 members, whoever donates. Yeah.
You know, I've recently discovered this, like, the Fox Sports Super 6 thing. Since it doesn't cost you any money to enter, it's incredibly difficult to get all of them right, but if under the... on the off chance that you do get them all right in a weekend, it's $250,000. So I'm like, you know, at the prospect of getting lucky and getting them all right for you know, like it didn't cost me anything to do it. I mean, I might as well play this. You know what I mean?
It's
like, given what it's, because I don't even have to put anything up and I could potentially win $250,000. Now, granted, it's about as hard as, you know, playing the lottery, but I have to pay for the lottery. I don't have to pay for this. So... I figured, what the heck? If I hit it, good.
Well, you know,
anyway.
You just kind of hit it like, I don't know, 8 times. So you get enough for it to buy that house.
Right. Anyway, I mean, someone hits it. I mean, because someone has to win the prize. I've seen them up there. They have people doing it. So I was like, you know what? I might as well play this and see if I get lucky one day. Since I'm not risking anything, really.
All right. I had a follow-up to that. What's the next movie you guys are going to see this year? I might see Frozen 2 as my next one.
That's a good possibility, mostly because I have
daughters.
A daughter that's into it, the original one. And, you know, Livy, she's not really talking yet, but she is basically able to sing. Like, you can tell she's singing, "Let go, let go." So I have 2 daughters that are now.
So what about you, Jason? What's the next film you're probably going to see in theaters? Are you going to...
Probably won't be till Thanksgiving. I don't even know what's coming out around that time, but...
Frozen 2.
You
think you'll see that one?
I don't think that'll be the one I'll pick. I'll probably pick something that's old, that's probably been out for a month or more. So I'll probably see, like, the Downton Abbey movie or something.
Okay. All right.
Or Joker.
I do want to see Joker, actually. Yeah,
pretty much the only time I go to a theater now is with family, so.
Yeah. I will go see Rise of Skywalker by myself because I want to see it and not be distracted. So I'm going to watch that one by myself. I'll take time off work and just go.
Now, see, when it comes to Star Wars, I know that Lynn and I went and saw Force Awakens while, you know, we were basically on almost like a date night when Maddie was still very young, like just a month old at the time. Then later on, we did see Rogue One when it came out and
the following year.
Was planning on seeing Jedi, I think. And Adam even tried to influence me by buying a Christmas present as tickets to a theater that's nowhere near me. But...
Whoops. I wanted you to get out there and experience.
Yeah. But other than that, I still have those, by the way. It's not been used yet.
I still have movie tickets for...
Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should take them with me and see if there's one in the Orlando area that's a Regal.
Go take them to the Regal Eagle and see if they'll let you. Anyway.
But, well, beside that, but, you know, there's not very many movies that's like non-Disney that I've really been interested in seeing anymore. Not too many.
Yeah. Joker has interested me. I'm very interested in that one. But otherwise, I don't really keep up with it.
You know, I actually heard someone who saw this movie last weekend, a coworker of mine, and she's a very empathetic person as it is, but she said she was basically she felt sorry for the Joker character after watching this one. Like, she understood why he became what he was or something like that. And I don't know if that's right. The purpose of the movie, but that's what she got out of it. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting if that's how it lays out. So I guess that's the way we do things nowadays. There used to be clear good and evil, and now that we're going into the gray.
Yeah, it's almost like there's 50 shades of gray, you know. Uh-huh. There's a lot of them.
And then what was the sequel?
I don't know.
Like 50 Shades Darker there's, or something like that. I don't know.
There's basically 50 of those movies now.
I was just going to mention the only other movie that was coming out in theaters that I was kind of interested in seeing just because of the series and how they actually did another one was another Terminator movie. I actually want to see that one.
Yeah, I've seen like adverts for that. And I'm like, okay, because if he's a robot, how is he like 70 years old now? Like,
well, the skin is, well, I don't know. It's a different one every time, so I don't know.
So he just decided to take over an old man this time? Like, I don't get it. Like, why? Why do we have to be...
Anyway. Well, actually, the skin that they put on them is living, so maybe this is just an older Terminator that is this time. So the skin would still age as long as he was around.
So it's real skin that he's wearing that ages? Okay.
You don't remember that from the story?
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've watched it. But I guess it makes sense. You could always make sequels because you can always go back in time, right, in this universe, so... Sarah Connor would just be fighting off Terminators every day of her life because, like, what else is she going to do?
I don't know. The timeline, if you, like, as they make more of these, the timeline gets really screwed. So, anyway.
Yeah. No kidding.
But, all right. Let's move along.
Anything after Terminator 2 is not worth watching, so.
I've always said that it was the only series I can think of in which the sequel is better than the original. There might be other ones out there, but that's the first one that comes to mind. But anyway.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I would say Toy Story. Toy Story
2 is better. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, that's, and again, that one's not as clear cut. It's more preference, and it's up for debate.
No, I wouldn't say that's any debate. But
I don't know. Well, we already know how we feel. Jason, which one do you think is the best? And Toy Story.
He thinks 3 is the best, doesn't he?
Yeah. You think 3 is the best?
He's weird like that.
What is it about 3? I gotta know.
What's wrong with you? I mean, it's obviously the best.
Okay.
It pulls on your heartstrings.
So does 2.
Yeah, 2's okay.
2's better.
No.
2's the best. Jim Varney, still Slinky Dog in 2.
That Jim Varney thing really gets you going. It's like, oh, it's not Slinky Dog.
Hey, I grew up with Jim Varney, man. He was one of my heroes.
You knew him personally? Wow.
Yeah, I did. He was my uncle.
Anyway, really. Well, at least we got back to a Disney connection by talking about sequels. How are we going to wrap this up?
Well, I think what we should say is that, John, I hope you are having a great time at your work function, but also going to Disney at night. And we look forward to hearing about what you're doing this week.
Disney After Dark.
Disney After Dark.
I don't think they have one of those.
No, not
actually, Orlando. Tuesday, their Magic Kingdom's closing early because of somebody rented it out. I don't know who.
Was that you?
That was
that was story. Not me.
Your company did. Oh. Yeah. No, that is kind of a news story. I was going to say, it's like, dang, how much does it cost to rent out the Magic Kingdom for a night? That would be fun. Let's have a traveling with a mouse party.
I bet $1 million might be a little low. We might need to get a little bit more. No, I have no idea, but I'm just saying, we were talking about how $1 million can go really far. If we're going to start renting out the Magic Kingdom, we might need a little bit more money.
A little more than that. Right.
it's a lot.
It's interesting that we're talking about this like someone had done that because I just remember, do you remember seeing on a Tim Trecker vlog not too long ago where he talked about Microsoft apparently renting out Universal for something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people have done that. I know people can do it. It's just crazy that Magic Kingdom seems like probably the most expensive of those that you can do.
Given that he indicated it was Microsoft that did it, that could probably give you an idea of what it cost to do that, to run an entire park.
There was a news story that told what company it was. I just don't remember what company it was. I got to look at it.
We're talking multi-billion dollar companies to have functions, so I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to find out what company that is. I'm like, I want to work for them, too. I want to do that.
You want to get your foot in the door there so you can go to these private events.
Yeah, it's the only reason. It's the only perk I want. Crap,
I saw
what company it was.
It was probably Big and Little Enos. Like, I'm buying out your attraction.
Send the bill to Enos Burdett.
Yes.
We are referencing a lot of movies that nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know. They might. I think this is going to be our best episode ever.
Sorry, folks. We're a little tired.
Sorry, folks.
Speaking of, there was another story I did want to mention here about the... have you guys seen the official trailer for the Imagineering story? The coming out for Disney Plus? This is pretty cool, but what I didn't remember was that 6 years ago, this project was announced and was in the works. So they have some interviews with, say, Marty Sklar, who has passed away 2 or 3 years ago now. So this project, we're going to get to see some footage from Imagineers who have gone on now and are no longer with us. So this is a 6 year in the making documentary that's been turned into a mini series, apparently 6 hours long now.
Wow.
So this is going to be cool. Of course, Bob Gurr is pretty heavily featured in it, in the trailer. And Joe Rohde is in it. I know he said on Twitter that he has a small part in it, so it didn't seem like he's heavily featured. But
I would expect to hear that from Joe anyway, because he's a rather humble guy. Yeah.
He's like, I have a little part in this, but I hope it's more than just a little part, because he's like a big thing these days. But it seems like they sort of start with the whole Disneyland story, and maybe they move on to all the way to Shanghai, is what it said in the trailer, from Anaheim to Shanghai. So it's going to be the whole story of Disneyland all the way to Shanghai, it sounds like. So, and I'm sure maybe they'll hopefully have some beyond, because in the new teaser, they show some Galaxy's Edge stuff, so like the Rise of the Resistance. So I am very much... This might be the first thing I watch instead of The Mandalorian, so...
Oh, already changing your minds.
Exactly.
John's watching the 1940 Swiss Family Robinson.
Right, that's what he's going to do first. Yes.
Well, it's going to be one of the first ones, especially if I was going to do chronologically.
Who is Gartner? Gartner Inc. IT Service Management. That's the company that's renting out Magic Kingdom for.
Oh, Gartner is?
Gartner.
Yeah. They release all sorts of stuff in the business world.
They must have a lot of money.
They do.
It says they list this on their website. I'm trying to find it on their website where they talk about it. But yeah, Orlando, Florida, October 20th through the 24th. So it's at the Swan Dolphin, their conference is at Swan Dolphin this week. So you probably won't be able to find a hotel room at the Dolphin. If you were looking for one, that's probably why. I doubt there's any rooms available.
By the way, the price to attend that conference per person, would you like to know?
What is it?
$6,200.
Wow.
I guess that tells you a little bit about how expensive it is to rent out the Magic Kingdom for a night.
Wow. When you said that, I don't remember if it was Swan or Dolphin. I actually did see some availability on like Expedia when I was just kind of looking around to see what I was going to do. However, it was in the $300 a night range, so maybe it did drive the price up at least.
Anyways. Well, if you do want to catch up with you, where would we do that? And how would we follow along?
You can find us on social media, as always, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM Podcast merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/twtmpodcast.
We also have a website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can visit there to find out all the links and more for all that we just mentioned. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we have a Patreon page, which is patreon.com/twtmpodcast. Thank you for supporting the show that way.
So for Adam, Jason, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
It has now been a week, and the Skyliner hasn't broken down. No, it's a new record.
Woo-hoo. Exactly.
It's a new record.
Positive Jason.